Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Advise Show Radio, the station that brings you intense discussions about the hottest topics. Make sure you join us by calling in at 347-996-3350. Now, here are your hosts, Gabriella and the Advise Show.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to tonight's show. Tonight's topic is censorship and political correctness. Why are you laughing at me? Sometimes I get tongue-tied. It happens. But see, on the videos, I can edit that out.
I know. It's live, so.
Yeah, it's live, so you can't, like, just fix that right on the whim. So what's going on, Gabrielle?
I'm just chilling, really.
Just chilling?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you got anything you need to announce before we get started with this show?
The only thing I wanted to announce today was that the magazine that I work for, which is Gal VIP Magazine, you can find them on Facebook at facebook.com/GalVIPMag. And we're finally making a comeback after a very long hiatus. So make sure you check out that page and click the like button and show your support.
And what Gal VIP is about for people who don't know what it's about at all?
It's basically a bunch of girls and a few guys that are interested in Japanese fashion and culture. Mm-hmm. And we have models of all different races. So it kind of just lets people showcase their style, and it's really all about self-expression and just being yourself.
Okay, and what kind of style is this that you're talking about? I mean, it's many kind of, you know, styles. I mean, you know, I'm just trying to get people to understand, like, what actually is it about and what you're into.
It's a Japanese subculture called Garu, and I don't want to get into it right now because we'll be here all night. But all you got to do is just go on the fan page, and there's an explanation on there.
Okay, all right. So, you say, well, before we get started as well, and then announce a few things. You know, for sure, we still, you know, going on with the radio show, got the videos going. Make sure that everybody that's on my Advise Show TV channel, make sure you hit the subscribe button as well on my Advise Show Throwbacks channel, because I'll put all my new videos up on that particular channel. And part of what happened to me over the past few weekends, kind of inspired this show about censorship and political correctness. I did a video talking about mainstream media and the things they have been trying to do to me as well, trying to get me to stop seeing certain things. And, you know, before the show got started, I was checking my feed, and, you know, I had, like, some dude from L.A., from a Fox News affiliate, you know, the weatherman. Well, how in the world a weatherman from a Fox News affiliate going to start following me on Twitter? Now, then, maybe a week or so later, I had a social media manager from Fox following me, too. So I said, you know what, and this has been constantly happening in media outlets, or different people from media outlets, been following me on Twitter all of a sudden since I've been doing these particular videos. So that's why I was saying in that video I posted about mainstream media, you know, how they've just been coming after me since December, trying to get me to stop. You know, wouldn't leave my account alone. I mean, all kind of news outlets, but, you know, I beat them and everything. And, you know, see, the thing is about mainstream media, they don't like that mirror held up to them. You notice that? Ms. Gabrielle?
Oh, yeah, I've noticed it, actually. One of my, like, this one guy that I had recently been watching on YouTube, he had to do the same thing that you had to do, which is move over to a different channel, because he had spoken out about a few groups. He had said something about, he had just criticized Muslims. And he got, two of his videos got banned from YouTube, and they completely locked him out of his account. So he had to move over to his backup channel.
Yeah. You have to have backup channels if you're going to, you know, do this particular YouTube thing. You got to have a backup channel, because it's like, the moment, like I said before in my video, Now, if I was wanting to be, you know, tap dancing and cooning and talking bad about black women and just being a straight up Uncle Ruckus, I can be highly successful on YouTube. I really can. There are people that will pay you to be like that, literally, will support you. But I choose not to do that because I get emails, you know, and stuff from some of the people that watch my videos. And they say how, you know, it helps them. And everybody, you know, not looking to clown all the time. I mean, like, yeah, I like to laugh, too. I go watch Kevin Hart. I watch Cat Williams or whoever else that's funny. I got people on YouTube I watch that's funny, and I enjoy them. But, it's, you know, it's a time and place for everything. And, you know, you can't just be want to be entertained 24/7. We got to learn some things. And we have so many things going on in the world today, Ms. Gabriella, that we do need to speak up about. I mean, for instance, parents can't discipline their kids anymore. At all, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Parents now doing a trend of public embarrassment on Facebook and YouTube, and now that's a problem.
Yeah, exactly. So they're going to say, oh, well, you're going to... They'll probably make it to that to the point where kids can actually sue their parents for pain and suffering or for emotional trauma or something like that. So
I could have thought I heard of a case like that a long time ago where a kid was suing the parents, you know, but I'll have to research it. Because, you know, in this day and time, you know, the kids, this is the thing. When the kids do wrong, they want to say, oh, where's the parents? Where's the parents? And why they not controlling their kids? But then the parents try to control their kids, and then they wrong. Mm-hmm. They can't do it. They go to jail. Okay? Then if, like you say, they do the public embarrassment thing, they ain't touch them, they didn't hit them, they just put them on blast, then that's a problem. You know, you can't speak up and speak out about anything anymore. You know,
everything is just becoming so politically correct to the point where you really can't do anything. And you kind of feel like it's almost like you have to, like, tiptoe around your words, because if you say just one thing that somebody doesn't like, you can immediately get your videos flagged down, or you could get to the point where you get your stuff taken down so much that you just give up.
Yeah.
That's just how things are going.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, come on. It's like, I can understand if somebody was threatening people or doing, you know, and the killing part about it, they got videos of people threatening others. They got people harassing you. You know what I'm talking about. That doggone Tommy, he don't stop talking about me. Now, that's considered bullying. And I don't do it. I don't say nothing. And that's because, according to YouTube, it's considered bullying. But how come that crap stays up? But yet, you know, I talk about things going on in society, anti-bullying, and my video gets taken down? Like, seriously? And it wasn't showing no nudity. Wasn't showing, you know, nothing that was you could deem like, oh, well, yeah, I get why they, you know, took that down. And, you know, who's this other? Now, somebody told me last night, this lady told me about Lovely T had went through that, too.
Mm-hmm.
At one point in time.
Well, she has. I mean, that's why sometimes she won't show certain clips, because she knows it's going to get her in trouble, which is why she'll say, okay, well, just go look at the, I have a link to the clip in the description, go look at that, and then come back and watch my video. Because it's really starting to get to the point where you can't even show clips of shows anymore. Because, like, let's say, for example, you say that you want to do a review of that new reality show that's coming out about those L.A. pastors that are living this lavish lifestyle. If you put that clip on there, the people that are running the show could easily flag your video down and say, oh, well, that's copyright infringement, without even looking at it. Even though she was using, or that whoever is going to put the video up, even if they're using it in fair use, they could still flag it down for copyright.
Yeah, they can flag it down, but I'm going to tell you about that. You could, like, she beat it too, just like I beat it with NBC Universal. Mm-hmm. She fought it back, and they got her the same time they got me. And when she was doing the clips of Shorty Low or whatever, and the thing is about fair use, they go to YouTube. I'm not gonna take it down. They ain't no questions asked. They gonna take it down. Then what's gonna happen after that is that you're gonna have to do a counter notification. And basically, once you do a counter notification, they gotta basically tell YouTube, okay, we're gonna take them to court. That's why you can't put it back up. 9 times out of 10, they're gonna spend that kind of money.
Mm-hmm.
To take you to court. So YouTube is going to put the video right back up, and it removes the particular copyright strike from your YouTube account. But, you know, YouTube is getting, you know, this real, you know, crazy, like, about even fight videos. How many fight videos is on YouTube right now? Now they're trying to start, you know, censoring that. A lady had warned me on Twitter, this older lady, and she said that she saw my video about the, you know, the husband that was doing the recording the wife, and she was having a little temper tantrum. I don't know if you remember that video.
Yeah, I remember that you said that he was going around getting those videos removed.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm like, why would that video be removed? She's just crying. That's it. But, you know, it was flagging it down for proof.
But then again, it's like, why would you put that video up? You know that it's not, I mean, he should know that in today's time, if you put a video like that up on Facebook, somebody's going to share it with somebody, and then somebody else is going to share it, and next thing you know, it'll be a viral video.
Yeah.
Just something that happened.
Yeah, I mean, once you upload anything online, you can't get it back. That's why I don't get why, you know, these people like YouTube want to try to censor people, or, you know, people can't speak their mind, like, say, in the media, even if you're a celebrity. You can't stand up and say, hey, I don't really think that's right, you know, what's going on, and without them suffering ridicule or shame or whatever. I mean, it's sad. It's real sad. I mean, like, they have some celebrities that had views about the Trayvon Martin case. But you know the certain ones that say nothing, like Oprah, you know, she didn't say a word. She stayed, like, silent as a mouse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know she had an opinion about Trayvon Martin, but the thing is, she knows that her opinion, and I know her opinion wasn't along the lines of supporting George Zimmerman, that's why she didn't say anything. She knows where her bread and butter come from, so she's not going to say nothing to piss them off. I mean, you got to think about that. You get what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, it's a lot of people that people are afraid to speak out these days. That's the problem. And it's,
I mean,
because
I don't even say anything on my, I try to just leave my political opinions and my certain views on things to myself, because these days there's a certain group of people that are untouchable. It seems like you cannot. These are just a few people groups that I've seen that you really cannot talk about. You cannot talk about the homosexuals. You can't talk about black women. You can't talk about the Muslims. Everything else is fine. You can call Christians bigots, idiots, closed-minded, whatever. You can make fun of Christians all day and night if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't talk about those three groups that I just mentioned. Otherwise, your stuff will get flagged down, or you'll get labeled as a bigot or a closed-minded, whatever.
Well, you can't talk about white people either.
Well, yeah. You can't talk about, if you're black, you can't talk about white people.
Yeah, yeah. You can't talk about white people in a negative way. You know, and if you talk about it, you have to be careful how you say it. I mean, it's like you could say really what you want, but it's all about the delivery on what you're saying. Now, if you're saying something with a lot of profanity behind it and a lot of force and whatever, of course, more people are going to get offended. But you could say, you know, the same thing to somebody, and it go down a lot easier than it would normally go down. You get what I'm saying? So, I mean, certain people groups, yes, you probably can't talk about them. But, like, they had a person, and I just saw a story on this, that they put up a sign that said they didn't want no Muslims parking in their parking lot. And they said it was in the Houston area. So I don't know if they churches around there or something like that. And they making a big deal, you know, about that. I mean, this is the thing. It's wrong. I think it is wrong. But at the same time, this is supposed to be America. If you don't want somebody on your property, or you don't like a certain person, I think you should have a right to say that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if you are a racist, you know what I'm saying? You should be able to have the ability to be a racist if that's what you want to be. I mean, as long as you're not hurting nobody, as long as you're not destroying people and killing folks. I mean, but I'm just saying, because when it gets to that point, then they're going to really start censoring everybody. For instance, your civil rights leader eventually going to have to be shut up the way it's going, because they keep fighting them, saying, oh, they're race baiters, say this, say that. You get what I'm saying? So what is it we supposed to do, Ms. Gabrielle? We supposed to just sit down and be quiet and keep a mouth shut? What are we supposed to do?
Unfortunately, either you have to just try to be overly politically correct, or you have to do what one guy has been doing. There's a particular YouTuber that I've been watching for a while. His name is E.T. Williams. and he had done a lot of videos criticizing the Obama administration. He had criticized a lot of the civil rights leaders that aren't really doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
He went against the Muslims. He went against the homosexuals. He went against the liberals. Like, he was not afraid to speak his mind. But I had a feeling that, I knew that when I started watching him, eventually someone's going to get mad and shut him up. And that's exactly what happened. And they kept pulling his videos. And then he said, you know what, forget it. I'm just going to make my own paid website, and I can monitor who comes in. And he can post whatever videos he wants to post on his website, and he doesn't have to worry about people flagging him down because it is a paid website. You have to pay to get on there and to look at the stuff. And he also had to go the route of posting his videos on Amazon. You can buy the video clips, or you can buy it off iTunes, because if you put something, like if you really want to speak your mind against any of the groups that I mentioned publicly on a free website like YouTube, especially YouTube, I've noticed that they will try to shut you up, because we really don't have freedom of speech. So the only way you can really be open to speak your mind is if you have your own platform to just say whatever you want to say uncensored.
And the thing is about, you know, like I said, I have a website, and I've been trying to get with somebody, I need to, you know, somebody around here, to find me a video player where I could actually, you know, upload much as I want. And, you know, like I say, whatever, how, you know, you get to, maybe if you have ads to it or whatever. Because if I find something that makes me the same kind of income I would when I post a YouTube on my website, I would stop doing YouTube too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what would be the point, you know, doing YouTube when you can do it? You know, but at least I do have the website. So this is what I've been doing now is I say, okay, any kind of fight videos, any kind of outlandish video I want to talk about, I post it on advisedshow.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I'll do is say, hey, go look at it over there. Then I'll talk about it here. You know, and so far that's been doing good with that. You know what I'm saying? Because, it just trips me out how they just really trying to, you know, censor things. And this is the funny part. How is it that you remove a video that I had since January and that video had 500,000 views, but yet the Buzz Rob video I had 1.5 million views? They tried to flag that at that time, and it just said age restricted, but yet the other video gets removed. Like, how? I don't get it.
I don't know. I mean, I don't run YouTube, but...
None of us do, but...
I mean, I think the problem is that YouTube has just probably been under a lot of fire, and they're just like, they probably feel like they would rather just pull the video than have to deal with the legal drama.
Yeah, what fire they been under? Because you telling me something that I don't know.
I don't know. I'm just speculating, because I don't know. Because, like, there's so much content that's being uploaded on that site every single day, so they don't have... There's no way that they can actually look at it all and see if this stuff is actually copyright infringement or not.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
they kind of just pull whatever.
Yeah, the thing is, they don't even... Really, they don't monitor nothing themselves. Really, you know, what happens with the whole situation with that is they depend on other people to do it for them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even do it themselves. And I'm like, how you don't do it yourself, but you're depending on the YouTube community to do it, you know? But, you know, the thing is, back in 2008 or so, you used to say anything you want on there,
mm-hmm.
and nothing would happen. I mean, so long as you wasn't threatening nobody or whatever, no. I mean, it'd be an act of Congress to really get your stuff removed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but now it's like, you know, it's just this censorship, and, you know, it's not making it really fun as it used to be. But the thing is, also on top of that, you know, you said about, for instance, somebody say about gays, for instance, you're talking about them. And if somebody says these words, I do not agree with your lifestyle. That's hurt them. Not that. That's, you know, no, I just don't agree with your lifestyle. People will come at you. Like you said, that everybody needs to get their pitchforks and torches and go burn my damn house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why is that?
I mean, that's exactly what I was talking about. It's like they're an untouchable group almost. And I wouldn't be surprised if they actually shut this show down just for us saying that. Because for some reason, you can, even if you say that you don't agree with the lifestyle, you can actually be labeled as a bigot just because, or a closed-minded person, just because you say that I do not agree with it. You did not say, I hate the gays. You didn't say, I think that, you know, all gays should go to hell and they're all evil people. You don't even have to say that. You could just say, I don't agree with it. And that's almost like a cardinal sin in our society these days.
Yeah, to say you don't agree with something, like, well, people don't agree with my lifestyle, or people may not agree with whatever your lifestyle may be. Mm-hmm. So what, so they should get crucified because they say they don't agree with it?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the thing is, you say you don't agree with gay, you know, they all say, oh, well, he gay bashing. He's like, wait a minute, ain't nobody gay bashing nothing. It's just saying you don't agree with, you know, your lifestyle. That's it. There's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, who now, let me ask you a question. Who do you think started all this, that a strong push of censorship?
Honestly, I don't know. But I don't even want to say it.
But see, the thing is, on this show, we can say what we want. Because, you know.
It's true, but I'm not about to have the feds kicking my door. But I really think that all this censorship stuff started with the Obama administration.
That's what you think it came in at?
Yeah, because I've just noticed that ever since he came into office, it's like you can't talk about the homosexuals without, or the Muslims, without getting attacked or getting your stuff taken down or getting shut up, because they're going to try to shut you up one way or another. And you know how they have the new policy where they can literally put you in jail, just, you know, they can accuse you of being a terrorist and put you in jail.
So, yeah, with no due process, and yeah, a lot of people, you know, talked about that National Defense Authorization Act, and you know, and this comes under, like I said, President Obama. That was saying he was cool with that, and I'm like, why would you be cool with locking up American citizens without due process? I mean, we are citizens; we're not no foreigners. I mean, what's going on with that?
I don't know. I mean, I just think that there's a lot of corruption going on in our government right now.
Oh, you think? Yeah, that's like an understatement, you think, because sure, it's a lot of corruption. I mean, look at all the things that's going on. I mean, like, all the jobs, you know, people are really, you know, need jobs, for instance. And all the jobs are going overseas to the Chinese, all of them. And nobody's saying nothing. Nobody's standing up and saying, wait a minute, look at what your government is doing. They're sitting there and letting the corporations ship off all the jobs that could be putting American people to work. Manufacturing jobs. This country always had manufacturing jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Always. That's where people can work. And the issue, like the biggest issue that people don't realize is in this country right now, it's not about black and white. And I really see it as that.
Oh, yeah.
It's not about black and white.
The only color that matters in this country is green.
Rich and poor. That's it. And the corporations are making money hand over foot by the prison industrial complex and shipping off all the jobs to China, getting these things for cheap, and then screwing your mind to make you think it's okay to buy all that stuff at the prices they put them at here in the States, when the Chinese are not even making it for that amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody says anything about it. And if you say something about it, you crazy. Something wrong with you.
Or you're a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah. You're a conspiracy theorist. They want to, you know, say, you know, oh, you're acting like Alex Jones or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, I mean, these things are actually going on, you know, in the media. But they don't, but when you start opening people's eyes to showing people that, that's when you become a problem, and that's when they say, you know what, we got to shut him or her up,
mm-hmm.
shut him down, whatever we got to do. But the thing is, one thing I like about Blog Talk Radio, you ain't got to worry about no buttons here to shut you up. You know, Blog Talk Radio would have to shut us up, and they would have to really explain why, because we are paying customers. It's not like YouTube where it's free, where they can just do what they want to do. That's why they don't go to a pay format, because they went to a, I wish they went to a pay format where they said, you know what, in order to post videos here, you need to pay. I would gladly pay them. That way they couldn't shut me up.
True. I mean, I know there are some channels that you actually have to pay to purchase certain videos.
Pay to purchase videos, pay to subscribe. It's called paid channels. But they are not charging the people making the video on those paid channels. See, my thing is, no, let's go to a subscription thing for anybody can watch videos for free. I'm all for the free stuff. I don't think people should be charged to watch YouTube. But my thing is this. If a person is a paying customer, then you better explain to them real well why you're taking down their stuff. And you better, you know what I'm saying? It's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Free. They kind of can do whatever they want to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, because they're like, hey, it's free.
Website, you know?
Yeah. We don't owe you a doggone thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, their particular, and the reason why a lot of people use them, because they have some of the biggest servers in the world, so a lot, that's why a lot of people use them. They have servers all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that we need to stand up for what's right, stand up, you know, for what we believe in, because there's a lot of people that's hurting it. You know, in this world, they got a lot of people confused, got people looking for relationship advice all over the place, but you can't speak the real about relationships. You know, either, because some people may not like that. Now why does that go on? Were you exposing some of this stuff men and women do, Ms. Gabriella? Why people get mad about that?
I think it's just because people don't want to hear the truth. They'd rather just have you just kind of tap dance around and just be making them laugh. But when you actually are a person that has a strong message, they just don't, nobody wants to hear it. Like, because when they actually hear a message like, if you were to make a video saying black women have some self-respect and stop having babies with all kinds of men, that would actually mean that the women have to, after watching the video, they got to turn the mirror on themselves and actually look at themselves and look at their choices. And nobody really wants to do that. They'd rather have you accuse somebody else for the reason why their life didn't go the way they wanted it.
And see, you know, we can get into the type of black women having babies. My thing is, this is my, you know, new thing. It takes two to make babies. And I don't believe in these black men being walking around with this angelic attitude they've been having for a few years, especially on their social media platform. Let's go on and get the black woman. She's having all these babies. She's doing this and she's doing that. Well, wait a minute. Most of these black women are having black babies. So that means she's having babies with black men. And I'm sorry, not all these women are having babies with thugs. Not all of them are. Some of them are having them with dudes at work and everything else, and they still don't take care of their kids. I know dudes that work every single day and they hoes. So you can't blame, and they got kids all over the place, so you can't say it's thugs that's making all the babies. My thing is, we both have a hand in that situation with the babies. And you know, we need to fix that stuff in a way of a collective. But my biggest issue is when a lot of times you get so in your mind that, hey, well, black men, you know, they are just such a victim. And if we fix the black woman, the community get fixed type of attitude. I say that is no other man of any race even think like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like most men would be like, let's fix the men, then we fix the community, not fix the women. That means to tell me you want to be under the lead of a woman, to tell a woman to get her act together. Why don't you get your act together?
Mm-hmm.
But see, they don't want to hear that. And if you say stuff like that, you know what I'm saying, tell them the truth, or you a simp.
Or a sellout, or a coon, or a mm-hmm. whatever they want to call you.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know what's going on in this country. It just seems like, I feel like we're just all going to hell without the handbasket. Really.
Think so?
Yeah. I mean, you see the kind of crazy stuff that's going on. They have, there was a story, it's not that recent. But there was a story that there was a little girl suing a school because, or I think it was a high school, middle school. She was a young girl. She sued the school because she was transgender and she felt like she was a man deep down inside. So she wanted to, she sued the school so that they could make certain, that they could make facilities for transgender students.
Wow.
So basically, there's been all kinds of things in California recently where they're saying, oh, well, we need to make certain bathrooms for the transgenders, and or they should allow people that are transgender to be able to go into, like, if it's a man that's transgender and he feels like he's a woman, he should be able to go into the girl or to the women's bathroom, or they should make certain facilities just for the transgender employees so that they can have reasonable access to restrooms.
That's crazy. You know, my thing is this. You know, if that's what you want to label yourself as, fine, but you can't go in a restroom with a bunch of women and all the women, you know, look at you, you know, like men. And they say, what a man doing in this restroom?
Mm-hmm.
And then you get mad because you can't be in there. I'm sorry, but that's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what woman you expect to put up with that? I would want my wife to come out the bathroom saying, there was a guy in the bathroom. I'm like, what he in there for?
Well, I mean, well, he feels like he's a woman, so that's...
It doesn't matter. You a man. I mean, it's that simple. I don't see the lesbians that feel like they men go walking in the man's bathroom. I never see them
do that.
They're
trying to do that, though.
Do what?
They're trying to do that. Some of them, not the lesbians, but the women that want to, the women that, you know, take the hormones and all that stuff. They want to be able to go to the men's bathroom. They feel like that's what they need to do.
I guess, because I don't know. This world is getting so complicated. And the thing is, once again, you can't say nothing. Because if you say, wait a minute, I don't want to go to, if you're a woman, I don't want to go in the bathroom with some man. I don't care what he say he is. I don't want to go to the bathroom with some man. Something wrong with you for saying that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel comfortable, you know, saying as a woman to be in the bathroom with this man I do not know. I don't know his intentions. I don't know anything. And yet he wants to be in the bathroom because, you know, he feels he's a woman or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, no, you know, you'd be called, you know, gay basher, hate gays and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this stuff, you know, got to stop. You know, why can't we speak up for the issues that we feel passionate about?
You can't. They're even having me. I don't know if you saw the case where the pedophiles are starting to use the gay argument now. So I don't know what they're.
Well, yes, they are. Yes, they are. They're trying to say
what they're trying to do if they want the right to be able to take your 3-year-old daughter on a date or something. I don't know.
Yeah, they're saying pedophilia. Yeah, they're trying to push pedophilia as a sexual orientation. And somebody has sent me that. An article. I'm trying to remember exactly where it's at. Pedophilia is a sexual orientation. Yeah, and I think it's California, of course. Always California. That's pulling some stuff like that. Yeah, they said a California bill. They say it really classified pedophilia as a sexual orientation. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. There's a bill on the table for that. And they said California Congresswoman Representative Jackie Speier wants to federalize a state law to prohibit counseling to change a person's sexual orientation. That doesn't sound that extreme, but pedophilia is a sexual orientation according to this bill as well. Under the bill's language, a mental health counselor could be sanctioned if there's an attempt to get a pedophile or gay individual to change behavior or speak negatively about the behavior as it relates to sexuality. So basically, they're saying the bill calls on the states to prohibit efforts to change a minor's sexual orientation, even if the minor requests it, saying that it does so is dangerous and harmful.
Mm-hmm.
It said the text of the legislation doesn't specifically ban gay conversation therapy. Instead, it prohibits attempts to change a person's sexual orientation. So, see, they're talking about that. It's a hell of a Democrat defeated this amendment. So, yeah, it got struck down, but they're still trying to get it put back up where they want to say that pedophilia is a sexual orientation. But let me go ahead on and take this call. Area code 612, you on the show?
Oh, this is just Emmanuel from Minneapolis. I'm just calling and listening in. Not sure what the nature of the topic is about, but I'm listening, so.
Well, the topic is censorship and political correctness. That is the topic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, you know, I was saying is that, you know, talking about that, if you stand up and have a strong stance on, you know, pedophiles and saying, you know, go ham on pedophiles, talking about how, you know, they should be the scourge of society, how they should be getting the time that these brothers getting just for a crack rock they got in their pocket, that's the people that need to be getting the time, not these brothers with a crack rock. You get what I'm saying? But you had these pedophiles go to jail for just a short amount of time, and they get right back out.
Mm-hmm.
And, but yeah, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to go ahead. I'm sorry. I just wanted to add to that. I'll speak when you're finished.
No, you can go ahead. That's fine.
No, from my research, not just saying, the reason why it's like that, and it's probably already has been said prior to me getting on the phone, because it's a white male crime. It's a white male. It's like, as sad as it may seem, but when a crime occurs, you probably, you know, have an idea who did the crime. And for that crime right there, pedophilia, most white men do it. And usually these white men, they're in positions of power where they can't be ridiculed, or they a child can't voice their opinion, because they're going to be like, the head of the head of police, chief of police, he did what? No, you know? And it's like, these guys have been doing that. Within European culture, it was always, and still to this day, but it's kept quiet by a lot. I'm not saying all of them do that, but a lot of them do. It was a pleasure to sleep with men and children for pleasure, and only mate with a woman. To bear children, so this is something that's not new. When they were in the Caucasus mountains during the Dark Ages, and when we came to make them civilized, these were the same tactics that they were doing. So I mean, it's a crime committed by white men, predominantly. And for instance, they use Christianity. No offense to Christians, but I mean, look what happens there. You have priests, you have a numerous amount of deacons, whatever they call themselves. They get caught all the time. They don't do any prison sentence or anything. But, of course, since we're in America and the prison industrial complex is set for you and I, you know, that's what they push forward in the media. We need to get them. They're the bad guys. But and that's my rant on that.
Yeah, and that's why I want to hold a mirror up to the media and a mirror up to all these people who are doing wrong like that, and show people, the little people I can show, obviously some people seeing it, what's the difference. And that's why I've been doing those series, What's the Difference? Like when I talked about Tommy Lee and Chris Brown, what's the difference? What is the difference? Nothing. Actually, Tommy Lee did worse than Chris Brown.
All he did was, I mean, I'm not going to say that all he did was hit Rihanna, but you weren't in the car and you don't know the situation. Ouch. If you see him, Rihanna's behavior, she might, I mean, who knows if she might have provoked the fight. But he's been, like, people haven't shut up about it. They're still talking.
No. Don't say people. Say the media and the media, you know, the white people in the media, not the blacks.
Well, the media has been still bringing it up. Talking to, like, they've just automatically labeled him as a woman beater, but nobody's ever really said anything about Tommy Lee or any of these other musicians that abuse their
women. Charlie Sheen, he beat his wife. All these different, Sean Penn, he's another one. You know, look at Robert Downey Jr., you know, Mr. Iron Man himself. He was on dope bad, in and out of rehab, always on dope. And now he cleaned his life up. He being in movies and you don't hear nothing bad about him. But nobody calling him a dope head or nothing. So why is it that this is what I like to show? Why is it that we have, you know, white males that can go through, you know, the hell in their life and turn their life around and everything's okay, but a black man can't go through the hell in his life and turn around and do good too?
Mm-hmm.
That's my thing, and I like to, and that's why I like to show with the proof, because you know how people are, they only believe you unless you show them the visuals of the differences. But see, the thing is, they don't want that said, and they want to shut, especially a black man's mouth, up. when he's sitting up there telling them, look, I see what you're doing. And I'm showing everybody what you're doing. And the thing is,
what a lot of people.
Go ahead.
No. You said the thing is, go ahead.
The thing is, you know, mainstream media is controlled by the government, as I stated before, the Federal Communications Commission, what they can report and what they can't report for the most part. And a lot of times they have an agenda. They won't even report the news even as it is if you pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they definitely report the news. Now, not all outlets, of course. Not all. Some of them just report the news as is. But some of them, like I've noticed, like they always try to make like white males be like this domineering, even like racist, like to make the black people hate them and even fear them. And even though, I noticed they'll cover up like certain crimes that black people are due to white people. Like they have certain crimes that black people have just targeted white because they thought, oh, they white, I'm about to get them. And they cover it up. But any other time, they expose it, what black people do. You get what I'm saying? It's like you don't want to show a black person in this domineering way sometime. But when there's a white person, let's say like Zimmerman, you want to show and expose Zimmerman. Think about it. Why did they expose Zimmerman's face? Any other time, they cover it up. But they want to expose that. Show that. Look, everybody. Look, see this racism going on. Think about it. That one media outlet, those media outlets, stirred up more racism between people than anything.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, the way they said things, the way Geraldo said things, it was the media that started, well, who else? That coon, Larry Elder. You know, he another one that stirred up so much crap. Eric Cole 229, you on the show.
Yeah, what's up? How y'all doing, man?
What's up, brother?
Nothing much, man. Just tuning into the show, trying to see what the topic is about tonight.
Censorship and political correctness. Now, did you check out my video about mainstream media, the one I put up Sunday night?
I don't think I caught that one yet.
Yeah, well, it's on my Advice Show Throwbacks channel. It's not on my Advice Show TV channel. I'm going to start using that one for a little while now. Yeah, because they're trying to get your boy, man. They're trying to get me.
They can't get my boy now. Come on now.
Yeah, they've been trying to get me, man. Like I'm telling you, they're trying to get me. I explain in the video everything that's going on.
But you know what though? I'm gonna tell you about it. So, you know, every time that somebody come on YouTube. You know, and they really speaking the truth. They try to censor them. They try to shut them down, and basically they try to silence them. They try to you know, they have people flagging them and stuff like that. I mean,
mm-hmm.
even going back as far as Sergeant Willie Pete and you know Dan Freeman,
yeah,
you know, several of them, man. They just certain people they don't wanna hear their voice because they know that they, you know, they feel like, I guess they feel like they built up such a audience that, you know, they feel like they might be a threat.
Let me add to that, brother. There's I forgot what it was, but I used to go to the University of Minnesota, and this white guy, he was telling me, but basically. There are people who are on the internet that are in Israel and right here in America, white men. They are paid, and you're hearing me right. They are paid to sit and create blogs, write all kind of propaganda, and just to cause controversy. These people that are out here, like you'll watch some YouTube video, why black men feel this way towards black women or et cetera, you know, the other way around. And you'll just have somebody on there. You can view the account. It will show that this account has zero views, probably created that day. They're just people that are paid to come in and write all kind of stuff and cause propaganda. Trust me, there's people out here that are getting paid to do exactly just that.
And we got YouTubers on YouTube that says that, you know, I wish more Zimmermans was around to kill y'all niggas.
Mm-hmm.
And people love that.
When you look at, mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. They love that.
Yeah, and one of my things too is that I noticed, like, I've been noticing this throughout the years, like especially on YouTube. I sometimes I wonder who's the face behind YouTube, and the reason why I say that is because if you notice that, you know, they quick to flag a user who's, you know, self-righteous or just not necessarily self-righteous, but, you know, a user that's self-conscious about the black community, or, you know, somebody that's just basically just telling the truth, you know. Mm-hmm. But then you got all these fight videos and twerk videos and all this other stuff that they won't even flag, you know.
Exactly.
And I'm pretty sure you got plenty of white supremacy videos.
Oh yeah, they got white supremacy all over the place. They, you know, all the different, you know, Klan organizations got their videos and everything. And that, in my opinion, that's okay for them to have these videos. I have no issues with that. I don't have to watch their stuff. They have a right to say what they want to say on their channel. Well, my thing is, like I was telling Ms. Gabrielle, it made me mad. I ain't going to lie. Like, back in July, I had a video that had 500,000 views on it, got flagged down. It was put up since January, okay? And it was about, I don't know if you saw it, about that it was those two black girls. It was fight, you know, and do a bullying the other one. And I did a video about, you know, basically about anti-bullying. And I had so many different parents write me behind that video. I had a lot of kids write me behind the video. Matter of fact, this young girl in particular, you know, she definitely always come back and watch the video. And sometimes she say, "Oh yeah, I like this video." What else? She say, "I helped her" or whatever. Behind that, just one video, okay? So why you got? So I explained. Go ahead.
But I was gonna say, you know, in your videos, your videos are informative videos. That your videos don't even strike me as being a threat. You know, your videos aren't videos, the type of videos that are, you know, controversial. Your videos are just really much reporting the news, you know?
Remember at one point in time, Malcolm X, because he wanted education, you know, housing, and for blacks to have an African economic base within their community, he was preaching hate. So...
Yeah, and that's the thing, and I ain't gonna lie, I have been, let me see, what I've been doing as of late, I've been talking more about black people getting their act together and fixing self. I have been talking
like
more
that.
About showing a mirror up to mainstream media. I didn't say white people, I said mainstream media, because regular white people don't control the media. I'm talking about the media, how they, you know, put up a mirror to them and show them why did you demonize this one and don't demonize the other one. But the thing is, I was telling Ms. Gabriella before the show, that just right before the show, I had some weatherman out of L.A. from Fox follow me on Twitter. Then a week ago, another one from Fox followed me on Twitter out of L.A. I said, "What's up with all these Fox people following me on Twitter all of a sudden?"
Yeah, that's what they're paying them for.
You know what I'm saying? I said, "Weatherman." They said, "What's the weatherman?" I said, "What's the weatherman watching me for on YouTube? I don't report the weather." You know, that's why I say it, but that's why I put up my video, if you watch on Advice Your Throwbacks, about how the mainstream media, they've been after me since December of last year. I detail everything they have tried to do to me I never told y'all about. You know what I'm saying? So that's just their next tactic. So we're going to try to see if we go another route and try to get his account taken down. It don't matter about that. You would take it down tomorrow. I can rebuild that stuff. It's not a channel. It's a person. They don't get that. As long as a brother say, "I'm not gonna," if he can get, they can get you to shut your mouth, then they won. That's when you start opening your mouth a lot more, and you don't start duplicating. And all I've done is this: I say, "You know what? I've created a bunch of more channels. I got in the tuck." I say, "So keep on if you want to." Area code 617, you on the show.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, it's Vanessa.
Yeah, I know your voice now, Vanessa.
I just called, I'm not really sure what the topic is. I just came back from the screening, The Butler, by Lee Daniels.
Oh, The Butler, was it good?
It was one of those, like, see white people, black people are not that bad. It was one of those movies.
One of those, what was that movie?
Oh, wow.
The Black Maze. What was that movie called? The Hell. Was it like that?
Like, it was another one of those, you know, housekeeping, subservient jobs, but because they were so good at doing it, we forgot that they were black, and we ended up liking them, even though they've been through a lot of crap that most people don't go through, and it's one of those type of movies. It was a lot of sad parts in it. It goes through presidents and events that happened during the butler working in the White House.
What about the Black Panthers? I mean, they actually showed that to what it was by history?
The Black Panther part was very brief. It was the son. The son's name's Lewis, and he joined that party. Before that, he was on the Gandhi peaceful route, and Martin mm-hmm. Luther King got shot. And then his girlfriend brought him into the Black Panther Party. And his girlfriend is that model, if you watch Top Model with Tyra Banks, the woman who's Yaya, she was in the earlier season. She played the butler's son's girlfriend. And basically, they talked about what the Panthers did. They basically had the son and his girlfriend in leather outfits being very ignorant. So the perception of the Panther was very violent, very raw, and ignorant.
And this is what Lee Daniels put out?
Yeah. And I can tell you briefly what it was. It started off on a cotton field, and the first part was Mariah Carey, the butler's father. I think David Banner played the butler's father, and then the younger version of the butler. And Mariah Carey got raped by, I'm guessing he's like, I'm not really sure what the white guy's position was, but basically he was the son of the mother who owned the cotton farm, and he took her to the shed, raped her, and then the son was like, Dad, aren't you going to say anything? And he doesn't. And then once the white guy goes off to walk, he says something. David Banner says, hey, and the white guy shoots him right in front of him. And then after Mariah Carey got raped, she kind of like loses her mind. And then the butler grows up. The mother of the cotton field, the white woman, she's like, I'm going to teach you how to be a good house nigger. Now I'm bringing you to the house. And that's how he gets into serving people and what's the correct way to serve white people. And then he leaves the cotton farm. And he tries to find a job, but it's hard finding a job. He walks around. He sees black men being hung. And then he gets hungry and tired. He breaks into a cake store to eat cake. A black man found him breaking in and basically gave him a job. And that's how he was so good at it. He ended up in the White House and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
And let me guess, the white family helped him.
I guess in the beginning, they were sharecroppers, obviously. They were sharecroppers, and after the white woman's son shot the butler's father, she kind of sees that he's alone in a cotton farm, and she's like, I'm going to teach you how to be a good house nigger. And basically, she teaches him how to serve her and people.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's
one of those blind side type movies where it's let's rescue the poor little black man.
Right. I know.
He's a pet nigger. This is basically a pet nigger. That's the averted, the updated mm-hmm. version. So that's what it was, basically.
Oh, wow.
Speaking of pet nigger.
But there was interesting characters, like Oprah, she played the butler's mother. No, she played the butler's wife. And then she was an interesting character. So, and there was Terrence Howard, Cuba Gooding Jr. So there were a couple good characters in there.
That's interesting. I've been trying to get to see the Oscar Grant movie. I ain't seen that yet. You seen it?
Oh, for
no,
real,
I have.
I saw it. That was a sad movie, man. I didn't, you know, there was a lot of parts of that movie that was real messed up.
But they need to put out the truth of what's going on. Shoot, I don't see why. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's and you put out more movies, and you know the thing is, what a lot of black directors don't realize, they don't need Hollywood to put out no movies for them. I mean, shoot, you can put out movies online and get some paper that way.
I think when it comes to black directors, I think they're comfortable in their position. There's not a lot of people who are like Spike Lee who will put a movie out about Malcolm X. Lee Daniels did an interview, and he was talking about the movie, and he was like, even though white people call us nigger, they still love us. And I was taken back by that comment, like, what do you mean they can call us nigger and still love us? And
well, actually, hold on, Vanessa, hold on. I'm going to tell you something about that. He's right about that. White people will sit there and say, I love everything about black folks, and still call you a nigger. He's right. It happens. So think about it. They'll sit there and listen to Lil Wayne all day. They'll go to Young Jeezy concert and everything. They still think they're better than every black person in that place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they like that.
Straight Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus. Yeah, they say, hey, you ratchet too? Oh, no, I ain't a ratchet white girl. I ain't with them niggas. I don't listen to hood music. Forget that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so, yeah, he's right. Oh, yeah, he's right about that. 100%.
The thing about it, when you sit here and you call someone nigger and you say, oh, I hate this person, or I hate these group of people and all this, and you do it for that such amount of time. And the thing about it, a lot of them, especially archaeologists, Egyptologists, things like that, they know the true nature of the world, especially them. I say that because they know that they came from, we birthed them. They know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, genetically, yeah. They know that.
Yeah, everything that they obtained, everything that they've learned, they learned that through us. They've learned that through the African male. We came near to their places when they were in ruin, and they couldn't function properly. So they know who we are. They know our history. Everywhere they try to go and dig, they find ancient artifacts that resemble us. So they know the deal. So, you know, that hatred will always be there. You derive from us. Although we are your gods, you know, we have to hate you and also love you in the process to steal everything that you've taught us, because we are your teachers.
But we,
yeah, the thing
about it is that we don't know who we are. We know what they put out there.
Exactly.
But that's by but we don't get to know who we are a lot of times. It's by choice, because a lot of us trying to buck dance and coon so much for them that you get lost and realize this. Like I said, even the white nationalists know that their time is wrapping up. Their numbers are down globally, and they still can't figure out why they not populating the earth. And yet the black people are steadily populating the earth. They never figured that out yet. You know, like
it's
no.
They the majority don't. But as far as like the people I've named, archaeologists, scientists, doctors, and all, they know what's up, because they don't have the dominant gene. There's a thing that whites are going through right now, and it's called photolysis. The reason why there are low birth rates and in women and men, they can't have babies. It's because one, white men, they have a weaker sperm, and the sun is killing them. And they're getting all kind of skin cancer, et cetera. So that's
yes,
why
they are.
They're 7%. They're getting, yeah, they're 7% of the world. It's not due to, they just don't want to have babies. Oh, they just don't, they have money, and that's all they can care about. And so white women don't want to have money. Oh, no. It is more than depth than that. It's a genetic thing. And genetic code, I don't care if you ruin something, everything must return back to its original form in order for it to, you know, be exactly how it was, like this earth. So, you know, I'm not saying, that's what white people get, but, you know, that's a karma back to them, at least the ones that are doing everything and anything to, you know, destroy this world, but that's a different conversation. But yeah, that's why their numbers are so low. And we, a black man, a man of color, could be 80 and have a and have a child.
Yeah,
but it's always been like that. There's never been the majority of the earth. But the thing about it, most people wouldn't know that because where it's flourishing, where there's an economic that is large, and what is deemed civilized or deemed to admire is white folks. You would think, come to America, okay, the majority is white folks, so they are the majority. I go to Europe, okay, the majority of people who are in Europe are white folks, so you may perceive that they're the majority, but globally they never were, and they won't ever be.
Right. And that's why they give constant images of the white woman as the most desired, and I was just like, let's be honest here. I mean, we can have a black woman who will, look at my mom, she's 60, she looks 40. I mean, when they age, we all know how they age. It's terrible.
Well, I noticed at least just my observation is that when they get about 35, that's when they start tanking. They get about 35 or so. And now, unless they really took care of themselves and they stayed out of that sun, because the sun murders them, and they love to be out in the sun. Because
yeah,
I talked to a neighbor yesterday. And she, and you know, she's white, and she was looking all bronze, talking about because she was in the sun with her husband, and she, you know, I was walking my dog, she was walking her dog, so we were talking about it because her dog got hurt. And you could tell a woman been in the sun. The thing is, where my wife worked at, they come in all the time, older white people, and they tell her, they say, you know what, if I'd have known the sun was going to do me back when I was young, I wouldn't have been in the sun. I mean, the sun is like their enemy. It's not their friend.
Yeah, the sun is, it's their enemy.
But what's kind of ironic about that, without the sun, nothing can survive. Nothing can live without the sun. But ironically, the sun is killing them.
Yeah, because they have the because they're a mutation gene.
And also, I read, like, I was reading the genetic code one day, you know, talking about that on that aspect. And that's one topic people do not want to hear. You want to get shut down real quick? So I was talking about genetics, and I was reading that, like, for instance, like black people, for instance, you know, we only have three races in the world anyway. Anything is birthed out of that, as most people know, or at least some people know. And, you know, like the black man, we have all three. We have the Negro, Mongoloid, and Caucasoid all in our DNA. We have all three. But
all
when you look at, yeah, but the thing is, when you look at the Caucasoid gene, it is the weakest on the gene pool, the weakest. The Mongoloid,
he can't even produce himself.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's the weakest in everything, you know. So if his genes are naturally weak, and the study I read was out of the National Institute of Japan. So you have Asian people acknowledging that, hey, everything comes from the Negroid. They were showing how in this graph how everything derives from the Negroid. I mean,
but
so
the thing I can't understand is that even though there's all this study and all this knowledge, which is not very, I guess it's available, but not a lot of people want to actually look for it. Why is the black man and the black woman hated so much?
Because we're the ones that, we're like you said, the information we're talking about now, you won't hear that on a global scale. They don't want people, you know, obtaining that knowledge. Of course not.
They
don't want that.
A minority that's able to control the majority, basically.
Yeah.
Because globally,
right,
people of color, when I say people of color, I mean anybody who is not of European descent. So that means Asians and blacks and Latinos, everybody else, you know, and the Arabs too. I really don't want to be all racial, but the whites are the smallest group worldwide, but they like being able to have that control over the world. So they kind of they keep putting out these negative images of black people in the media to kind of keep us down.
But this is why you have to combat that. This is why you have to combat that stuff with alternate images. And you have to, that's why I try to combat it. I say, you know what, let me combat this stuff they're doing. Let me challenge the Bill O'Reillys and the Sean Hannitys and the Geraldo Riveras, you know, challenge all the Buck Dancing coons we have in the black community, because they are very many, and they just running amok after Zimmerman got freed. You notice that? They just start going crazy, all the coons, when Zimmerman got free. It's like, wow, I've never seen in my life so many black people that's just align themselves, you know, with that sort of ideology. And so, and once again, something's wrong with you if you say, hey, why are you cooning, man? Something wrong with you for saying that. You need to shut up.
But I think that comes back into, like, the Butler movie I was that I saw. It's like when – it seems like in the 60s – obviously, I wasn't born in the 60s, but it seemed like in the 60s, it seemed like the goal was to be accepted. And to be accepted, you had to be not threatening. And to be not threatening to white folks, you had to be subservient. And I think once the civil rights leaders and the people of that era said, you know, we've overcome. Now that we overcome, don't do this, don't do that. Make sure white people feel comfortable. Don't be non-threatening. Go along with everything they say. And I think we've just passed that on to the future generations, including my generation, to be passive. Don't upset them. Don't tell them the truth. Whatever they say, go along with it, because we now overcame, and don't bring us back to where we had to fight, where we had to be our own, where we had to be independent. Now just go along to get along.
And then, like I said, and also on top of that, I'm going to keep saying this. I have never in my life thought that I overhear black people saying the things they're saying today. Like, you know, I'm sorry, I'm calling names on this show. You like that dude, like Painless Risen. Have you watched some of his videos?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I haven't watched it, but I've heard a lot of YouTubers saying this dude is straight cooning.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
he's a coon, boy.
And the funny thing is,
he
doesn't get that view, so I don't see why he's doing it.
I'm sorry,
what is
his first name?
Painless
Risen. Risen,
okay.
Yeah. I watched a video of his last night. I watched the video that he came out with last night where he was talking about, he was basically talking about the situation with, I think it was the situation with Oprah. Where she had went overseas and to Switzerland, and basically she went in this store, and she asked about the about looking at a purse, and the person in the shop was like, you know, that purse cost too much.
Oh yeah,
and
that just happened recently.
That $38,000 purse.
Yeah. But that's nothing to Oprah. I mean, he was basically just, you know, agreeing with everything, you know. He was basically saying that it was okay. Like, you know, maybe she was trying to steal something or something he was saying. I was like, man.
Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah, he'd say stuff like that. He agreed with Paula Deen, your boy. He agreed with Paula Deen, too. He agrees with Zimmerman. You know, your boy.
Well,
you know, like I said, I'm pretty sure y'all heard that video where he was saying he wished he had more Zimmermans to kill black folks.
But then they're able to get away with that because their followers are just like...
Are white. A lot of them are white. The thing is, let me tell you something, a white woman...
They kind of use this mask of, well, I'm just trying to help the black community as their... They say that so that they can pretty much... like Painless Risen or Painless Risen, whatever he wants to call himself, can make videos calling black women nappy-headed bimbos and everything else, because he's like, well, I mean, I'm just trying to help the black community, so it's okay if I call black women that.
But I'm gonna tell you what, though. They had this white lady from Canada a few months back, and you know, she was watching videos, and she got upset, you know, with your boy, Tommy, about his commentary about black women, a white woman. And she made a video edit. And I'm like, whoa, you know, and she sent it to me. And, like, after that, she was harassed the hell out of this woman. Mm-hmm. Well, then she wrote me, and then she told me, you know, a lot of racist white men love his videos. I'm telling you, they love it, the way he talks about black people and black women. He said they support them. She told me they financially supporting them too. And I said, you know what? That's like, did you hear that brother that made a video about him, Mr. T. Jones of Afro Synergy?
Yeah.
Oh boy, he broke him down bad.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure that video should have flagged down if he did make a video.
Ooh, no, it was intelligent. He didn't call him a single name.
No, but was it flagged down?
I don't know. I saw all five parts of it. That dude broke him down like a shotgun. I mean, bae.
When I wrote that dude and he said that he doesn't prefer to see, you know, black women with natural hair, and he actually hates it and all that. I mean, I was finished with him at that point. I was just saying I don't like his thought process because I don't have any children. I'm 29, and at the end of the day, you know, although there's no such thing as race, but it was put this way on purpose, your race is all that you have. So, you know, I just prefer
exactly.
a black family. And he doesn't wish
exactly.
into promoting that. So I can't support any man or woman that's like that, because if you don't see that there are systems out here that are in place to ruin us, because AIDS just didn't come out of Africa and get to San Francisco, you know?
Yeah.
Man, from what? Go ahead, Vanessa. Go ahead.
To talk a little bit about what you just said, I do believe in what you said about race. I think that there's nothing wrong with supporting your race. There's nothing wrong with sticking with your race. Asians do it all the time with Chinatown. All ethnic groups do it with their own little town, and they're dominating what they have. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't know why is it wrong when blacks come together. We say, okay, we want to be united. We want to be Pan-Africanists. Now it's a problem. But when the Jews come together and they set up scholarships for Jews, it's no problem. When Chinatown has a Chinatown, we don't even have a little Africa, that's okay for the Asians, but it's not okay for us. And I was, and also, what you were talking about, I think as the numbers of the white folks diminish, I think they're already promoting interracial, but I have a feeling that the interracials and the Latinos who can pass for white are going to be put in place as whites.
Yeah, no,
well, they're already doing
that. That's what they're doing that now. They got Ethiopians. You have a lot of Ethiopians. They feel as if that they're white. Even when my dad, most of us have West African ancestry, but I'm a first generation born. My dad was born in Mali, and my mom was born in Liberia. And my father's like what? I'm dark skinned. Now my father's like Ice Cube's complexion, and I'm way darker than both my parents. And they wanted him to put white on his sensory, and it's just like, no. So, yeah, though that's one of the tactics that they'll use.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've been trying to inflate their numbers, and you notice they inflate their numbers with Hispanic, but give me a minute. Eric Cole, 402, you on the show.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Anyway. They'll try to, you know, inflate, you know, numbers and everything. Like, even if you look at certain records, like, they really don't have a lot of places for Hispanics to say they are, you know, Mexican or stuff like that. It's always either Hispanic, non-white, or white Hispanic. Like, what is that about?
Yeah.
I mean, either Hispanic or not. And I don't get that. Now, you have some Hispanics that are light-skinned. I mean, they are lighter-skinned Hispanics, like you got darker-skinned Hispanics. And then you got some, I've seen some Hispanics that'll trip you out. You like, one of them, they're white, but no, they Hispanic. They'll get offended if you call them white.
Mm-hmm.
They're utterly offended. Like, they got green eyes and blue eyes.
They're so stupid that you don't even know that you're being used as a pawn. Because you don't have, like...
want to say that some Hispanics, they like that title. They want that title. I know for a lot of Dominicans, they have that whole Blanco mindset that, you know, if I perm my hair enough, if I bleach my skin enough, if I speak Spanish, like the Spaniards, then I will get accepted. There's a lot of Hispanics who want that white title, and they will do anything to diminish their blackness or, you know, pass for white.
Yeah. Well, but they have those in every race. I mean, like, what that sister told me. I think they call them Venditos, whatever word she used to call them, because I know some real conscious minded, you know, Hispanics. I mean, they conscious to the core, like about, you know, they people and what they went through, and they definitely sympathize with what black people went through, those who are extremely conscious. Then you got the coons of every race. They want to tap dance for them, you know, like, and what right. Some of the Hispanics told me they can't stand. They say, you have a guy, his name is, Miguel, but he come to America talking about he wants to be called Mike. He don't want to be called by his Hispanic name at all. You know, they act like they're not from over there. They don't want to speak Spanish. They don't want to, you know, eat the food. They want to, you know, not even hang out with, you know, other Mexicans or whatever. They just want to just be with the white people all day, you know, until they get right. they wake up call and they say something about them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen that. Like, see, a lot of people tell me about, oh, Hispanics, but a lot of Hispanics I've been around, they get it. They get it. They understand, like one of the dudes that helped me out the most at a job I had was a Hispanic dude. He looked out for me from day one because he wasn't many brothers at all. And kind of, he was happy to see me.
Camaraderie there.
He was happy to see me. He's like, man, I'm glad somebody else here I can talk to. You say, man, you say, cause sometimes you say, man, I ain't racist or nothing, but sometimes the white folks be tripping. You know, so he would look out for me. He'd be like, man, don't talk to this dude. Watch yourself. Do this. I mean, that dude, like, really looked out for me. So me and him was cool, like, from the jump. We still cool to this day. Matter of fact, I think, what, next month I'm supposed to go to his daughter's quinceañera. He invited me to the other one, too. You know, where he had his twin. So, sure, I go have a good time with him. Real cool guy. So you have people that get it outside of the black community and understand what it is. Okay, and like those issues that we talk about, he would tell me about Mexicans. I say, man, sometimes, you know, black folks be tripping sometimes on how they do so. He said, man, Mexicans just as bad. He said, a Mexican trying to start him a business, open up him a taco stand on this one corner that's doing good. He said, then another Mexican go pull up right next to him and open up a taco stand trying to take away from his business. He said, so Mexicans just as bad. I'm like, wow. You tell me how Mexicans will kill each other for anything and all this other stuff. You tell me, say, man, I don't think Mexicans got it all together now. You say, black people and Mexicans are a lot alike. You know, I say, so, you know, one thing I wish we had the togetherness they have. I wish we had that. I admire that. I admire their strong sense of family. I admire they have big families. The thing is, we have big families. My mother come from a family of seven, my father come from a family of eight.
Mm-hmm.
And their parents stayed together until my grandfather's died.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we missing. And I really admire them.
Africans have. That's why I kind of hang out with them. But
yeah, they're cool. Because
they have the family values that black folks should have, but we don't really for the most part. The whole, you know, the more traditional family values and the male-dominated household, things like that, all those things that are almost frowned upon in the black community. Like, saying marriage is almost like a black man's kryptonite. So
that's a boy's kryptonite, think about not it, a man.
Black boy's kryptonite, then. Black boy. Yeah.
We have so much rules for us, and a lot of us are going off of a Eurocentric platform. This person needs to make this amount. This person needs to make that amount. When you look at other races of, I'll just use men. There are men that have, you know, bus driver positions. They go around doing garbage stuff. I can't think of the correct term right now. They're mailmen a lot, and a lot of I mean men and women. They're faced with us now. They're faced with, oh, he's a mailman. But he's making $50,000. He's making $45,000. I have a friend that does postal work. And whenever he goes out on dates and stuff, that's what he has to deal with. Basically, what I'm getting at is that we put ourselves in, we judge ourselves from a Eurocentric point of view. And it's like we should be getting the best from each other. It doesn't matter if someone is making $100,000 or their girlfriend and boyfriend makes $40,000 less. I mean, you combine with what you have, and, you know, you have a family structure. That's what I believe in.
Brother, that's the way I run my household. Me and my wife, man, we put our stuff together. It's none of this mine and yours. It's ours. We put it all in one pot. We discuss everything together, and we make moves together. And it works out better because when I was with my baby mama, she was like, well, this is my money and your money, and, well, since you make more money than me, you should pay most of the bills, and I shouldn't pay this. I'm like, wait a minute. Ain't about this mine and your competition. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly,
and that was a headache. That was an utter headache. Versus, like, wait, me and my wife got it. And matter of fact, when I said that, that's why I tell dudes, have some standards before you get involved with these women. Tell these women, look, to be involved with me, this is how it's going to go. And I meant that. I said, any woman I dealt with after the fact on that serious note, we're going to be together on everything, and we ain't going to do nothing. I said, I ain't going to waste my time. I said, I'm getting way too old to be playing games.
And that's why I stayed single. I don't have any kids yet because I need to wait to find a female that's like that first. So, like, you're not first, I'm not first, the family structure is first.
Yeah, it's a team. It's a team oriented. Yeah, yeah. You got to find your woman that won't, like, you know, you talk. But see, you find that stuff out when you're dating them and you're talking to them and asking them questions too, and how they need to look at investigate how they was raised. Because sometimes how a woman is raised has a lot to do with how they act. You know, you find a chick, especially if you come from a good family structure or whatever. You kind of look at how our family operates. You know, you look at all that stuff about it and say, okay, that's kind of a plus in, you know, her cap. You know, at least
but at
on
the
something.
Same time, I'm not going to knock her because I have my own business. I'm not going to knock her because I feel as if, oh, I've arrived and she needs to be making $100K, you know, also or something like that. And
well, not too many people making $100K, brother.
Huh?
Not too many people making $100K a year. You know, I mean, that's real.
Exactly. And no, that's what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is she also doesn't need to make $100K, but what the mind structure needs to be there, you know, that although this person makes this amount of income, we're in this because, you know, we're trying to, you know, be the best of friends. We're trying to build something and establish a family unit. And that's what it's about. That's what I believe in. That's why I can't say, oh, I'm going to go, you know, breed with some other race of woman. You know, I mean, no disrespect to anyone who's in an interracial relationship, but I mean, your people is all that you have. I'm not.
I mean, the thing is, you know, even also about that, what you just said, it's one thing about that. You never know who you're gonna meet. I'm just gonna keep it real with you, because what if you meet like a female and she got
it's
all the qualities you'd be looking for, huh?
Right. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, if she got all the qualities that you've been looking for in a woman, but she's just not the color you want. I mean, you're going to be stuck with a catch-22. Like, you know, my motto always been about that. I say, listen, if I'm not with a black woman, she's going to be a minority. That's always been me.
I agree.
You know?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And it has to be a conscious-minded minority, too.
Exactly.
And that's
it. Yeah, you gotta get somebody that you identify with, like that time they was talking about, you know, Rick, y'all remember when they was talking about guys going outside the states to find women? I think they was talking about guys going like to
Brazil,
South America, to Brazil to get women.
Yeah,
and I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but I mean. Don't just, you know, what a lot of people were saying was, you know, don't just do that just out of rage, you know. You know, if you're going to date outside your race, you know, just, you know, still date someone that's going to be, you know, compatible with you. You know, just, you know, somebody that has common interests with you. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of those guys were just doing it out of frustration and, you know, just so sick of black women, they want to go over there and just date outside their race. Not worrying about if they have anything in common with those women.
Of course, they're going to be subservient and nice at first. So,
I don't know. For me, like I talked about that in the video when I said that. I said, listen, if I was working in that country and I just met somebody because I was working over there, that's one thing, but I wasn't about to spend all my money just go get a female. Forget that. America got is big enough where I could find one of them out of all these millions that's here.
And furthermore, brothers ain't making that kind of money. Most brothers ain't making that kind of money to be traveling like that anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So
when
you
get over there.
My thing is, even if you do the marriage thing, you have enough money, you bring her back, she's going to get used to the westernized thinking. She's going to mingle with other Western women. And if her mindset wasn't always and just on that way women are supposed to be like this wherever she comes from, and she gets with the westernized women and they're like, you don't need a man, you're independent, trust and believe me, in 3 years she's going to be like, you know what, I don't even need you, I can do this on my own. So you don't really know what you're getting into, because it's not like you're moving to Brazil and you're going to be there or wherever you go. You're going to bring her back into this type of environment. She's going to adapt.
The only way you can keep her, like, the only way a man can actually keep her how she is basically as long as he support her and don't let her work. If he let her work and get around, like you say, Western women, and with their attitude and feminism and everything, he's going to ruin them.
I mean, even if they're not working, I've seen it happen. I mean, I know this is, it was a movie that I was watching, but this, I mean, it was actually mirroring something that happens in real life, which is a lot of African men, they'll be like, okay, well, we need to go back to the village and get a village girl, because those city women are all westernized. So they'll come from the state, go to the village, like, you know, the poor villages in Africa, and get a woman who only has a high school education and, you know, and just keep her in the house. But even though the woman may not be working, she's still going to go to the hair salon, and she's still going to make friends that, you know, that she's going to have American friends. And eventually, I've seen women will actually move out of their husband's house and then go stay with one of their American friends, because their American friends will wrap all, you know, bring all these ideas in their head. And that's just what happened.
Forget
so you
that.
Can't control, I mean, unless you're going to lock your wife up in the house and say she can't even have any friends, that's the only way that's going to happen.
Forget that.
Right.
The only thing
or if she watches TV, like let's say she doesn't even go out. She's going to watch TV. She's going to see that, you know, she'll be sitting in the house watching daytime TV, all these reality shows. She'll be like, all these women have all these nice things because they're working. So she's going to be like, okay, let me get a job.
She's going to be watching Stevie J and Jocelyn.
Exactly.
Right. People who bring no substance, no balance whatsoever to the African descent community.
I'm going
to
say this much. The only person that I'm going to say that I think is, I can say personally that seemed pretty cool is Rashida. That's the only one. The only reason I'm saying that because I talked to her. Other than that, I don't know about the rest of them. She's a real down-to-earth person. I can say that much.
Did any of you hear the news that Zimbabwe wants to start their own stock market?
Your own what? Oh, you said stock market?
Yeah, like it's going to be exclusively ran by them. So it's for Africans. And a lot of people are saying, like, okay, this is the beginning to pan-Africanism. You know, we can do this. We can be self-sufficient. But then they didn't include any American blacks. They called the Asians in for the Asian support, but they haven't, like, knock on our door and say, hey, you want to be a part of this?
Unfortunately, most Africans don't like American blacks.
Yeah, they don't.
No. That's not true, because my parents are.
I think I would know, but okay.
I would know as well. But it's there's problems. Yes, we understand that. There's problems. That's ignorant, of course. But I mean, yeah, you're right. You're right. But I mean, that's I don't know, I can stay on that topic all day, because it's one thing with European people, with people of other ethnicities, they may not all get along. A Mexican may not get along well with a Puerto Rican and El Salvadorian, et cetera. But when it comes to other people of different ethnicities, when it comes to getting that money, they understand that. There's a collective viewpoint and mindset there. But us, as a collective, as African descent people, on a global scale, we don't understand that concept. And if we don't get that together, we're always going to be walked over and be a pawn for somebody else. I never heard of that, though, but that's very ignorant. You don't give homage to anyone that doesn't look like you.
But I think with us as African people, we haven't grabbed that concept, because if you ask any ordinary African-American what do you think of Africa, they think of Africa as a continent, not even like individual countries, as a whole continent. Everybody's impoverished. Everybody has a belly full of worms. It's just a tragedy. And if you ask any African, what do you think about the typical African-American? We're all twerkers. We're all drug dealers. We're all illiterate. So it's that whole, I don't want to associate with them because they're not on my level. And then we view each other negatively, but we're not, either one of us doesn't hold our own image. We can't say, hey, we're doing this, we're doing that. That may be some of us, but that's not all of us. So we tend to exclude one another because we view each other negatively.
Right.
Divide and conquer.
Well, you know what? I'm gonna tell you something. I just looked at there. You're talking about the Zimbabwe Stock Exchange. They actually have a website for it, and they up and running. They sure are. They say ZimbabweStockExchange.com. Contact information, everything, and they're showing the tickers and all that. So, hey, I'm glad. Hey, I love to see Africa do something for themselves. I mean, eventually, it's going to have to turn back to that. You can't keep Africans down or African Americans down either for the rest of their lives. It's going to, like you say, history is going to repeat itself. It always does.
That's right.
Everybody have their time of rule. If you think about it in history, of course, we ruled at first. Then you had all different other people rule. You know, Rome was a big, you know, the Italians ruled pretty big and heavy. They failed. Now the European is ruling. Now, you know, I think next time will be our turn once again to rule. That is my opinion.
And the thing about it, we ruled for millions of years while we watched everybody else struggle. Everybody else came to the continent of Africa to go to school, to learn this, to all of them, every last one of them, or we brought it to them. That was our biggest mistake, is teaching people how to be civilized. That was our number one mistake. They turned that around on us.
Well, we also traveled, too. We also were the first explorers of the continent. That's how we knew the world was round before the Europeans did. And we had traveled to, like, South America and this continent we call North United States, North America, and Canada. We were traveling all over the world. We helped.
Right.
Some of those people in South America built those pyramids.
Yeah,
you know,
the Olmecs and stuff, we built
Right. I mean, we mixed with the Mexicans before they even called themselves Mexicans, when they were still Aztecs.
And
right,
somebody had put up an article. Somebody put up an article about, about black people being here first. In America, like in the land called America, and I wanted to read up more on that, you know, where they get the evidence from and stuff like that we was here first.
There's actually a book called They Were Here Before Columbus, and it details a lot of American history pre-Europeans.
It's two books, actually. It's one, like, she, like the lady name, but the title is actually called They Came Before Columbus, but you were right. There's that book, and then there's another book that was called Before the Mayflower.
Mm-hmm.
So those two books will give you the information, and actually the person who did the research that has not been disproven to this point. No one has disproved that yet.
And there's Hidden Colors by Tyreek Nasheed.
Yep. Oh, yeah. That's right. That brother's documentary. Yeah, he talked to a lot of different people. That's right.
I haven't seen part two. I only seen part one.
Okay.
Yeah, get both of them. I own both of them. A lot of information is in there. Whole lot.
I think the reason why they hold the information from us because people with self-esteem and people who know who they are can't be oppressed forever. And because we gravitate to this negative image and this bastardized version of who we were, always viewed in a negative and an oppressed mindset. But if we knew we come from and where our lineage stems, we will no longer be on some degenerate type of behavior.
No, we won't be. And we don't understand on the world, on the global scale, people don't understand who we are. Our melanin, meaning our color, has a lot of power in it. Like I said, scientists, archaeologists, all these Egyptologists and all a lot of them, they know. Water, plants, a lot of living things that are out here, our melanin is in a lot of those plants. It's in a lot of living things. This is what they know. We don't know it.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Sir. You know, the thing is, you know, people need to understand who they are, the history. They need to understand, you know, what we can do. And, you know, to get back to the original, you know, topic about, you know, censorship, you know, that's why they want to shut up a brother or sister talking about those sort of things, because it may just quicken your spirit enough to say, wait a minute, I need to research more who I am as a person. And that's why they quick to shut down a black man, a black woman, doing it in a way that's reaching people. Because if you come off the guise of like a Sarah suit and steady, nobody's going to listen to you because they're going to say, oh, you just black supremacy type speech, which Sarah suit and steady, I've heard him do some good videos. You really have. But his overall message won't be accepted too much. But if you're trying to bring that message with some logic and just trying to go on the guise of, hey, I'm just trying to talk to you, you know, reach out to everybody, you know, look for the betterment of everything, they're going to start getting concerned about that. You know, because you got to think, you know, people like Malcolm X, he didn't teach to go out and kill nobody. He didn't, but he was hated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but his teacher was also hated, too, because that's the one that really put all that, that gave him all that information, though, too.
And I know who you're talking
about.
And
he was really hated. They really hated him. Back.
Are you talking about Gandhi?
No, I'm talking about Elijah Muhammad.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a ooh.
They
Lord,
really hated that little man. I mean, and but they were scared of him. So, and Marcus Garvey, they didn't like them. They were scared of him. They didn't like him. They didn't. I think they kicked him out of the United States, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
they did.
They so anybody that comes up like that, they fear, and they get scared of them. But the ones who really know what's going on has been holding information, the real powerful ones, they're looking for it because they know eventually, look, we know we only got a short period of time on this planet, being that we're the minority on the planet, so we're going to do everything we can to slow that process down. Because, like I said, the wickedly wise, they know that their time is short. So that's why they do all these tricks. It's technology, because they already know their time is short. And as long as they can keep doing it, as long as they can keep us messed up and concentrating on nonsense,
and twerking and
they're
fighting,
still going to stay. Right, right.
We'll stay the same way.
Twerking and fight video. They love the twerking and fight videos.
What was that rapper? T.I. So you see, you know, when you put that video up, as soon as he changed his image to a more positive image, talking about his family and all that, they don't like him anymore. But when he was back talking about selling drugs and carrying on, that's when the media will push you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a video I posted last week.
But that's
like,
what happened.
Like Hoover said, he wants to stop The Rise of a Black Messiah. He actually wrote that down. And I think, let's say tomorrow we woke up and there was no more Yeshua, there was no black. Do we even have the capability to be self-sufficient where all over the globe there'd be little Africas? I don't think so. I think we're so used to being coddled and so used to depending on other people for other things. If tomorrow we had to be so self-sufficient like that, I don't think we would be able to step up to the plate.
I totally agree with what you're saying, but I also agree with this. In order for people to learn and want to have change, I think something drastic needs to occur in order for people
exactly.
to change. Because it's like this. I'm all for if Europeans walk up one day and say, hey, wherever we are and there's places of African descent, we're going to stop depressing these people. We're going to stop doing this. We're going to stop doing that. And let them do it themselves. I think that's the best thing. Who cares if it takes 10, 15 years, 20 years, 30, 60, it doesn't matter. Because you'll have your own self to blame. You will be at fault. We should know basic things in as carpentry, as farming. All of these things which was the entire reason why they brought majority West Africans here anyway, because they didn't know how to do it. Now we don't even know how to do it.
How to farm the land and all that stuff. You've seen if you studied American history where when they first came over here, it was, when they tried to set up Jamestown, the first winter there, a lot of them died because they didn't know how to tend the land. They didn't know how to just do the basics. They didn't know how to how to live off the land. Because they were so used to a more industrialized society. So they're like, okay, well, must exploit the minorities. That's kind of how it started.
And that's sad. And the thing is, they're more dependent on us than what they like to admit, no matter what. They may have all the money and power, but yet they still look to us and they still feel a way about us, like they inferior to us. That's how they feel in a way. They do. I mean, think about it. I mean, you want to find out how inferior a white man feels about himself? Let a brother get one of them nice looking ones, white women. You'll see. They have a way about that. They fall apart about that.
You know what? And that's, you are so right about that, because one of my coworkers took me a punch. No romantic thing or it had nothing to do with it. It was because the type of work I did helped her. It just helped her. So she was like, I'm going to take you to lunch, which is cool. Okay. It was lunch. We walked in there. And if you would have looked at the faces on those white men when they saw me walking with her, and I'm not involved with her in any sexual way. I don't want any romantic thing with her. She's my coworker. That's as far as it goes. Their faces were, it was priceless. I wish I could have had a video camera. Because she's the classic, what they consider beautiful in this country. Blonde, blue, high. She actually is a pretty young lady. And their face, their mouth dropped. Their eyes were like, how the hell did that happen?
Mm.
And I'm sitting back and I'm just kind of like laughing, observing. I'm laughing on the inside. I'm like, they don't even know that actually this is this person I work with. But they really think that I'm involved with her, and how the hell did I get this pretty woman? What the hell was she thinking?
Well, let me tell you something else I saw before this show got started. I'm going to talk about this tomorrow on my channel. They had this white woman that was shoplifting, and she had a black child. And she admits, she said, yeah, they caught me on camera shoplifting, fine. They had a bag that's sitting down. They saw her with the baby. She called her boyfriend to come get the baby. And he heard the brother on the line, the cops. And this is a white woman now. And they heard it was a black man. They said, oh, you're going to really have some trouble now. And they went to beat her down. They beat her to the point her eye was closed. They beat her down for the simple fact that she had a black boyfriend. And this is a white woman. This is a white woman, and actually a civil rights organization is trying to defend her and say her civil rights are violated because of what they did. I'm going to talk about that tomorrow, not today. It was messed up how they beat her down. A white woman. Classic, like, back in the day type of stuff. Oh, you a nigga logo. I got something for that.
Yeah,
two white males beat that woman down in that store's back office. And the workers were like, oh, my God, they were freaking out. How they were beating her down. A woman. Just because they heard her talking on the phone with a black man. Well, you seen that child sitting there. You know where that. But then maybe they thought maybe she babysitting or something. But no, they realized that was her child and that was the father on the phone. They beat her down.
I wonder if the same logic applies when it's reversed.
Oh, no. It never. And we talked about that. I think me and Karen Lee Potter talked about that. How is it that white men can sit there and date Asians all day long? They love them some Asians. But yet a white woman go date a black man, oh, it's a problem. It's a problem.
If a black man is dating that white woman, she's fat, she's trash.
That's not true all the time,
yeah,
bro.
We know that's not true because I don't hang around with brothers that wear dresses, white T-shirts, you know, that wear white T-shirts and just walk around looking stupid. So, I mean, of course, you see brothers like that with them. Yeah, it's totally hilarious. You, 140 pounds, she's 260. But anyway, it's definitely not all because I hate it when I hear that because I mean, like I say, you can date whoever the hell you want to. I can care less, but I mean, if you're gonna date outside of your race, especially your brother, I mean, come on now. I mean,
why?
What I have noticed more often because I live in Massachusetts and I'm in a metro area. What I notice now, I see interracial more often than I used to, and I see it with black men and white women. But when I see them, I don't, like, stare or like, get angry or anything. I just mind my business, keep on walking. But every now and then, I get a glimpse, and I see the black men always have this reaction, like I got caught doing something, and I'm waiting for your reaction.
Well, the thing about it is, it's like when you see a guy like that, like for instance, like you take a quick glance and you guys will just glance at each other, and all of his facial expressions will express what you just said, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's because deep down he really wants to be with you. He doesn't want to be with her, but some of us don't have some brothers don't have a mouthpiece. You know, they don't know how to come up. All they know how is, oh, what's up, baby? They don't know how to speak properly. So,
yeah, well, some people, what you're saying, which is a lot of brothers are doing this, a lot of brothers are selling with those females. They really don't want them. They're selling with them like, dog, I can't find me a black
chick,
so I'm going to go find one of them.
No, they don't want, you think, these brothers don't want these. They're just settling, exactly, by.
At least with those females, because like I said, I notice the brothers are a little bit different with women of that's minority. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, your Asians and your Hispanic chicks. I've noticed I don't really see that reaction at all. Not even from sisters. You have their reaction to that particular couple. You see a brother with a Mexican chick or Asian, whatever. But something about that dynamic is just so taboo. Which I can care. That's what people do. My thing is, let female make you happy. Go ahead, because at the end of the day, you have children with her. That children will be called black anyway. I don't care what you say. They're going to call them black. They're not going to accept them as white. So do your thing.
Right.
You know, right. So now, the only thing my issue is, they are a different culture, and they thinking is different. I'm not saying they're not nice people, but, you know, I have two sister-in-laws who are white, okay? And they're nice, but they thinking is just, You know what I'm saying?
And that's why I couldn't do it, brother. And that's why
I remember, like my other sister-in-law told me, we was having a conversation. And I say about her family. I say, well, you know, she was telling me about different things. And she said, you know, said my family, you know, said, I can't stand them sometimes. She said, especially my grandmother. She said, well, my grandmother, you know, she was always racist. And I looked at her. I said, really? She said, yeah. I said, well, did you bring your baby around her? And she was like, you know, she said, yeah, you know, I did, you know, or whatever. I said, did she say something stupid? She said, no, she didn't. And I said, okay, I was just curious, you know. But see, it's stuff like that. You know, so I went and told my wife, you know, what she said. She said, really? She said that? I said, ooh, I better not tell my mama that. My mama going to go blow up. I'm going to say, well, you know. I was like, I'm just telling you. I don't hide nothing from her. I tell her everything. You know, especially, I mean, it's about his brother's chick. So I'm definitely going to tell her, you know. But, yeah, I was just saying.
Like the man who was speaking, I couldn't do the interracial thing. Because I forgot who was speaking, but I think it was like Omar Johnson. He was breaking down the interracial factor, and it's like, okay, you good get with someone of another race, and then say you acquire all this money. Women usually live longer than men. So say, for example, the man is black and the woman's white. The man dies off, and all his money goes to that white woman. Say that this white woman has a racist people in her family. Do you think when you die off and you have all this assets and money, she's going to utilize that money and assets toward the black community? She's probably going to use that money for her family or her people, and all that money you acquired and whatnot doesn't go into helping your own. And also, what was it? And he was like, you never see it the opposite way. You never see a really wealthy white woman with a poor black man. It's always the opposite.
Right, with the post office man, you don't see him, and that's why I was saying not long ago we need to switch the way a lot of sisters do. Need to switch our thinking, the way we think, because you're not gonna get a brother that's 150,000-200,000. There's not a whole bunch of white men that are millionaires. It's just not gonna happen. So we need to be getting the best of our people, regardless of, you know, how much money they obtain or whatever that may be. You know, those are really pathetic differences. Someone's making 50,000 and you're making 80. I mean, you combine with what you have, and that's so true with what you're saying. If a guy dies off, that woman, how do you think she has a family members right now, even back in deep in her heart and in her mind. She doesn't like the majority. She's just messing around with you, and she likes her children. She doesn't like the majority of your people, and that's true. She's not going to take that money and put it back into people who look like her husband. No. What she's going to do is, what, adopt. Like Angelina Jolie's of the world, and you know, and treat the child
the ones they adopt black kids like play toys.
Yeah,
boy, and they love to, you know that they love to go get the darkest black kid they can find.
Yes,
you know, light skinned black kid. It's always the darkest one they can find. Usually, and think about it. A lot of times you have like you know white women, especially a lot of white men. I notice. They will get the darkest sister they can find. I've never seen what a light-skinned black, but you know, and I think about it.
I really don't want to say it, but honestly.
Light-skinned black women are the jewel in our community. You know that, and so the brothers follow them too much, so I can understand why.
I mean, it's harder for white men to actually get a light black woman because most light-skinned black women get attention from all different shades of black men, so it's a little bit harder for a white man to step in and take what you just said, the quote-unquote jewel of the black community. And then on top of that, I've tried dating interracially before, and I'm kind of like you when it comes to dating interracially. It's like I'll date somebody who's interracial or outside of my race, but it has to be a minority. Because I've tried dating a white man before, and it was almost like I was his fetish or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Because that's how 95% of them see you, as a fetish.
it was really, and like, I mean, we weren't really dating. It was just kind of like I was just getting to know him, and the more comfortable he got, the more racist he was, and he said things like, you know, it was like right off the bat, it was like everything was just very sexual, and he wasn't really trying to get to know me as a person, and it was more like, I mean, it even got to the point where he was showing me pictures of some dark-skinned black women that he had sex with, and he was telling me all the things they had done and things like that, and he was like, it was like this weird, twisted fetish, and he's just like, I just want you to kind of be my slave type thing.
Yeah, and a lot of these men will date self-hating black women, and they'll end up hating black men.
That's why he got mad at me, because I wasn't a self-hater, because I was like, I'm not about to be nobody's slave.
I got a cousin that's
like
that.
His Negro bed wince.
Exactly, and I was like, no, sorry, I'm not about to be your Negro bed wince. And then he started insulting me and calling me crazy, but the problem was...
What he really wanted to call you was a niggeress.
Yeah, but he was so... He was so used to, I mean, unfortunately, though, he was so used to the women that he had dated in the past being so willing to just do whatever they could to make the white guy happy. And so when he found me, he was like, oh, you're one of them.
Yeah.
You know?
And he probably dates sisters who they'll sit in and they'll talk about black men all day. I got a cousin that's like that. But when he left her and started calling her all kind of niggers and, you know, all kind of stuff, and that's when she wanted to come around. Oh, you know, he's calling me this. Well, that's what you signed up for, dear. You know, what you thought was going to happen. That's what you signed up for.
An article, I think it was in Essence magazine not too long ago about this black woman who wrote to Essence and said, basically, I'm in an interracial relationship. I went to this top university, Ivy League university, met this white guy. We're cool. Then I went to a reunion, met him again. Fast forward, we got married. And now every time we have sex, he's calling me a nigger bitch, and he's doing all these racial things, calling me his nigglet and whatnot. And she's like, should I accept this or leave him? And I'm like,
So
the first time he called you that, you didn't feel no kind of way about it? The first time he called you that? Like, do you remember your ancestors? Man.
No, because when you hate yourself, look at their psychosis. I mean, look at her. Look at her mindset. You know, it wasn't an issue. She didn't
for
think
years,
it was going
to
be an issue.
So after years and years of that, all of a sudden now it's a problem to the point you're writing somebody that you don't know to help you about your problem?
Newly wed with him, I guess the first time it happened was in their honeymoon, and she thought, you know, it's maybe just a flake, maybe just flipped out, and then more often he's been saying it and saying it around his family, and they're all comfortable with it, because, you know, that's his pet nigger. So now, after a year, I guess she wrote to Essence, was like, you know, should I stay with him or leave him? I'm like, why would you even ask that question?
Sure. That's funny. I laugh at that. Because you know what? I can keep it real. I don't hear brothers saying that, hey, that white girl called me a nigga. I don't hear brothers saying that.
I'm not saying it has not happened.
But the thing is, for the most part, I hear the other way around a lot more. But me, like I said, I don't know. I've never dated a white woman, not a day in my life, so I don't know about it. I mean,
I've even dated some self-hating black guys before, so.
I mean, one of my ex-girlfriends told me
to get married and have niggas. So.
One of my ex-girlfriends was telling me about some brother that she knew, and he was messing with this white girl, and the white girl happened to be involved with a guy who was in the Klan, or was it the Aryans? And he just would not leave that white girl alone, no matter how much my ex-girlfriend would tell her. What is wrong with you? Wait a minute, you're telling me she's calling you over in secret to have sex with you, calling you all kinds of ends, and you still messing with her knowing that her boyfriend's in this group. What is wrong with you?
I know what was going on with him. I can tell you what's going on with him. It was turning him on that he was knocking down a racist white man's woman. I know that's what it was.
I was just about to say that.
Oh, yeah. He was getting off to that.
Just to make him angry. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's why he was doing
it. And when they kicked down his door,
until they kick down his door and come to kill him. So you may think that stuff cute. That stuff ain't cute. She'll set you up and get you killed, son.
It's so many brothers
to
get you.
She'll turn that whole thing around and blame it on him and say, oh, he coerced me. He raped me.
Yep.
He forced me to do it.
Yep.
He said if he didn't, he was going to kill me. So.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Anyway, everybody, appreciate everybody joining the show, and thank everybody for listening. Now, as I stated before, I'm using my Advisor Throwbacks channel for now. I'll put my new videos up here shortly. I may use that for the rest of the year. I don't know. We'll see. But we'll definitely be back next week. And make sure you like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/advisor, so you know everything I got going on. Whatever channel I post on, or website, or whatever, radio shows, whatever. And also, if you talk to me about anything, got any problems or situations, let me know. I'll try to help you out as much as possible. All right, everybody. See you next week.
All right, take care.
Great show.